sound. They say they're rich like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear, the eye I first believed.
And let's just remain standing if you'd like to read along in your scriptures. We'll read the ones we read last week, and then we'll read from the book of Joel. But we'll read Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4, and then we'll read Matthew 24, verse 6. And then we'll go to Joel, the second chapter, and read about 4 or 5 verses from it. It's good to see each one of you out for services this morning. Just pray one for another. Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Matthew 24, verse 6. "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now, we want to try to speak on restoration. We spoke on it last week, and we'll try to finish the message up this morning if we can on restoration. So let's read Joel 2, verse 23 through 27. "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, the fats shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed." Let's all just pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of gathering here this morning. We pray that you would bless us now. Bless your word. You've already anointed it, we know. But we pray that this morning we may see your word as it comes forth and understand. Guide the people, guide the speaker. Teach each one of us from your word, because that's what we desire. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, because I've just always been built that way all my life, ever since being a Christian. You know, it's always something to get to come to the church and to fellowship with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Now, we'll be speaking this morning, the Lord willing, this will be the last message on the second seal. It'll be message number 5. And if you want to just put a subtitle under it, put restoration, and that way you'll know a little more about what you're studying from. But now, what have we found? I hope you're catching some things from the seals and all that we didn't cover the last time that we went through them back in 79 when we preached on them, and then feeling led just to go on and speak on them a little bit now. I hope you're catching some things from it, from these seals. And what did we find that red horse rider represented? See, the red horse, the rider represented the age there when, if you remember, when Satan went into another form. First he was an antichrist, Second, he became a false prophet. And then he goes later into the form of the beast. But yet in the second seal, we see it showed to us that red horse rider was Satan in another form. See, from what he originally was, because he originally started out as the Antichrist, just a spirit, and then that spirit become incarnate in a man, and it become a crowned false prophet, and then they had a what you'd call a pope, because Rome was ruling the world at the time, and they had a false prophet there to a false system. But he become king, he become ruler of not only the natural governmental side, but the spiritual side of the church and everything, because he was head biker of the whole thing. And seeing that seal, then we know that it's Satan in another form. Well, now, we ought to be smart enough in the Holy Spirit by now to know that if Satan can't get you one way, he'll come at you from another way. If he can't catch you on one thing, Brother Branham said three things you have to watch in a preacher, especially in the preacher, said you have to watch, it's money, women, and popularity. Said one of the three will get him if he ain't careful, because it'll be something that, it'll pull him into that. And then it'll be like Balaam. See, he wanted money and he wanted the popularity and all to be the head man. And then you'd be like Cain. We went through that. But yet, we want to see ourselves. Not to look and try to find something in somebody else, but see if we can find it in ourselves, because the seals are the mystery of redemption, not the mystery of the Antichrist. But you got to look and see the natural things, and then you can see what went on during that time. See, from that seal, well, then you watch what the Holy Spirit reveals that counteracts that. So we found that Satan in another form as a false prophet, a pope, went out, a biker, and he become head of the government and the religious systems and all. And then he was given a sword. See, the crown that he was given from the first seal was when he was a crowned false prophet. And then the second seal picks him up and gives him a sword. That's when he went out killing all of the people. You know, he began to just slaughter just anybody, that 68 million people. And people don't think today, they go by and they see all this and they see all of these fancy churches and all of the Catholics, you know, and they think, well, you know, boy, they're good people. Why, they wouldn't hurt anybody. Why, my grandmother or great-grandmother or grandfather or aunt or uncle or niece or nephew, why, they're Catholic and they're good people. Well, sure, that's right. It's just like all of the Protestants. They're good people out there. But it's the system that controls it. Now, we found the false prophet. What was he? When him and that spirit that was motivating him become one, then he become a crowned false prophet. Well, now, when the people and the system that they're in becomes one, then they are incarnate in that spirit, or it's incarnate in them, and they'll do whatever that system says. We'd say, well, you talk a lot about the Catholics. Well, what about them killing, the Protestants kill people down through there? Because they wouldn't agree with their thoughts. Who was it? The head of the Mormon church that they put to death because he didn't believe their way. They had him killed. The Methodist church had him killed because he wouldn't believe his way. You go out and talk to people and you try to get them to see the Word. You read it to them right out of the Bible. And they'll get mad at you and they'll just fuss and holler and scream at you. Well, I've even had people at work to literally cuss me with cuss words and tell me I didn't know what I was talking about. Well, now, if I was standing there trying to show them the Bible, then what kind of a spirit would they have when they'd call me cuss words? See, it's the age-old thing that they're trying to tower over me, like the more you can holler, you know, the better you can get people to listen to you, and they run out of words to you, so they start cussing. Or they got to call you some kind of a name, or some kind of perversion like a buzzard or a homosexual or whatever they want to call you, because I've been called everything from one side to the other and just trying my best to serve the Lord and been called everything from it. But now, think. When that person that would do that, you think that person, even though they might be a friend of yours, you think that person wouldn't one day? No, they wouldn't lay a hand on you theirself. They wouldn't dare touch you. But they just like for you to be out of the way. You're just a sore thumb. You're just something there standing as a center that, I don't mean a center, but a center of the thing, to where that they just can't get around you. There's people that I deer hunt with that they just don't like to be around me on certain times, because like my brother-in-law and them, they'll just go out. If they take a notion to kill a doe, they'll just shoot one and just bring it on home. Well, they know I don't agree with that. So they'll, when I'm around, it's hush-hush, you know. They'll be laughing and talking about it, having a big time. I walk up, it just, well, you know, it'd be better off if I wasn't around, I guess, because that force that's there, see, don't agree with them, and they get upset. Well, now, they'd like for me just to be off back over yonder. They don't want to hurt me. They love me as a brother-in-law or as a brother or whatever it be, but they just like for me to be somewhere else. Well, see, one of these days I will be somewhere else. Maybe they'll kill me for what I believe or something. Well, you know, they'd say, well, I didn't want nothing to happen to him, but I sure am glad he ain't here. See, it don't condemn me now. I can do what I want to. Well, now, see, that's what I'm trying to get us to see. Let's don't look at somebody else. If we can find them things in us, if we can find them situations in our own lives, then we ought to know what's controlling us. There's something there that's causing the problem to be there. And we ought to get rid of that. Well, now, you know that if there's something there, as Brother Branham said one time, he said, there's people that create an atmosphere, he said, you just love to be around them. Well, there's people that create an atmosphere that I don't like to be around. But see, I don't want nothing to happen to them. So we're all human. But yet, if we can find something under the seals that's in our own lives, what is that little thing that motivates us and makes us do things? What causes anger and troubles and things like that to come on us? There's something there that just ain't seasoned just right. And then something goes wrong, and we say, well, Lord, why am I in all this trouble? Watch at the end of the message today and see if we can see something from that. But we'll say, why am I in all of this trouble? Why does everything just seem to fall on me? Well, do we want to argue with the Scriptures? The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Do you realize you can be right in the middle of the worst heartaches and troubles you've ever been in your life and be right in the middle of the will of the Lord? Now, that's hard, ain't it? To think, boy, you know, man, we ought to be, if we're the bride and we're getting ready to get out of here, well, we ought to be glory, hallelujah, just shouting like everything. Like my wife said, she heard a man on the radio the other day, a Pentecostal, saying, boy, we better do something because them Baptists and Methodists and all around here is beginning to shout and praise the Lord. Well, see, that's true. We ought to be shouting and praising the Lord. But there's a time comes that, as Brother Branham said, the stabilizer is put in the ship. And then you got to sail some rough waters. You got troublesome times in your life that you got to sail rough waters. But when you sail on out of it, come out of the other side of them troubles, is when you can say, thank you, Lord. It wouldn't, as Brother Randall may said, when his wife and baby died, said, Did you keep your religion during that time? He said, no. He said, it kept me. Does your religion keep you, or do you keep it? A favorite saying down at General Motors is, there's a good many preachers in there that are foremen. And their favorite saying is, they say, I leave my religion outside the door when I come in. Well, now, I just tell him to his face, he ain't got none. He might have a religion, but he ain't got no Christianity about him. Because if you go to a liquor store, then Jesus has got to go with you. I mean, just saying it like that. Me going to General Motors, Jesus has got to go with me. Whatever I do, wherever I go, he goes with me. I can't leave him outside the door. Now, he might have left me because I didn't want him. And that's what's happened to a lot of people. But now just think about it. We want to see ourselves. And how did we end up on our life's message now? Seeing that Satan, in another form, comes to an end when he's cast into the lake of fire. All right, we also saw that when he's cast out of us, see, that second seal reveals that when he's cast out of us, it's done because the Word is there in a restoration. Because it's in the restoration of the Word that Satan loses his hold on us. It's in the Word being restored to us is where that Satan loses control. See, you don't have no trouble with people if they're reading and studying. When they quit that, it's where the trouble's at. Brother Branham said a prophet had to be sent because man wouldn't pray and read his Bible. Now, that's the way he said about it. He said, by that, then a prophet had to be sent. Well, then it's human nature for us to do that. But it's a bad time now to relax. Because that's the lady you'll see in spirit. And you'll see in a little while, is our character going to be molded through suffering, or will it be just a lazy, shiftless lady you'll see in easygoing, you know, don't get involved, let everything go, and don't bother nobody, just don't get involved. Character of this lady you'll see in age. Or will it be the character that's molded by suffering? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I ain't supposed to have to suffer. Well, did the Lord Jesus suffer? Then where would we get by without it then? Say, well, why have I been sick? Well, sometimes it's because the Lord wants you on your back where you can look up. That's not necessary every time that it's a trial or a troubles or anything like that. Or it's not necessarily because of something you've done. Sometimes the Lord just lets us go through things so he can, as Brother Branham said one time, let us know who the boss is. See, we get kind of cocky around and all, you know, and get a little bit built up in our own selves. And about that time, the Lord just takes the steps out and under us and lets us fall. Well, then when we do, how we handle that will determine a lot. So let's see if we can find ourselves now in that. Because we found that Satan will be cast into the lake of fire, showing that he comes to an end. Now, that seal then will have to show how Satan comes to an end in me and you. See, he has to come to an end. He has to be cast out of us. You say, yeah, but I don't have the devil in me. Well, now, what causes you to get mad sometimes? What causes you to do wrong sometimes? You going to blame that on the Holy Spirit? Now, I wouldn't do that. See, then Satan, as long as this flesh, like we are, we'll be a sticker. We'll be a problem in the flesh. That flesh will always be trouble until it's changed. See, because it does not belong, it's not in its rightful state. Our flesh is just like everybody's flesh. And if everybody's flesh, if Adolf Hitler could take his brain and soul and everything in his body and deceive a world with it and take them to a slaughter, then our flesh is the same way. Our minds that we think with, our natural brain that works through our spirit, that worked just like his did. See, it's controlled that way. So then we are not something that's set so high that we don't have no problems, are we? We have troubles, but yet how you handle your troubles is what. See, you've got to know the Word. Now, you just take in our own lives. When we was back in the Baptist church, they used to preach, well, you know, we've got to do wrong because they seen they did do wrong. So they just come out and said it. They said, we've got to do wrong. And we just can't help but sin a little. Well, now that's not according to the Word. Yet the Pentecostals come along and they'd do something wrong, and some of them, when they'd do something wrong, they'd be justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and they'd do something wrong, and when they would, these brothers would tell about it, how they used to preach it. They'd fall from the baptism of the Holy Ghost back down to sanctification. And they'd stay there at sanctification a while, and then they'd get the baptism of the Holy Ghost again. Well, now that's not scriptural. Then some of them would take those three works and teach them, and then they could go out and just do anything. And didn't make no difference, because as long as they spoke in tongues, they still had the Holy Ghost and everything was all right. Well, see, if I didn't know the Word, if I didn't know the prophet's message and how he taught it unto us, I'd write a newsletter, as a brother writes, and send around a lot. And I'd de-Christianize every one of us and send us all to hell. But the Word tells us that we can have problems. Well, see, you was never taught that. And if you're not taught anything, you can't handle a problem. And we was never taught that when we was back there, how to handle those things. We'd see a person do something wrong, we just automatically de-Christianized him. Well, see, then we found out that there's not a bit of difference in the little wrong and the big wrong. It's wrong is wrong. But yet, take the Word and it can handle that situation. Well, see, what if we didn't have the prophet's message now to teach us those things? Where would we be today? I'm just honest. I've always tried to be that with myself and you and everything else. The Lord has to be the one that does the work. And I can see more and more what the prophet said when he said, when the headstone comes, it'll be crying, grace, grace, amazing grace. It sure won't be crying nothing good you and me've done. It sure won't be on our good merits that brings back the Lord. It wasn't our good merits that saved us to start with, was it? But now, just think, Satan has got to be cast out of us. And see, it takes the revealed Word. It takes that revealed Word to do that. Now we saw, as I said, we're talking on restoration. We saw last week that there would be a restoration of the Word promised under that second seal. We read it. It was over on the third seal and the foundation for it. But we saw there'd be a restoration of the Word to the church. Now, that restoration, when you say restoration to a lot of people, I was listening to the tape this week to kind of see where I'd got to, and when you mention restoration to a lot of people, they think, well, that's back to the Pentecostal fathers. Well, see, that's true. That is restoration. But the restoration that I'm talking about is all the way back to Genesis. See, you'd have to have first a restoration of the Word that the faith of the fathers was involved with. See, you talk about restoration. They say, well, that's restoring us back down there to where the first church was at. No, in restoration, I'm talking about there must be a restoration of the Word all the way back to Genesis. And to do that, we'll have to go back to where the fathers were before you can ever start. I remember years ago, that was a favorite topic of everybody. They was preaching on how we had to be restored to the faith of the fathers. And I reckon old oddball me, he had to come along, speak his word, and, you know, get his mouth running and get him in trouble with everybody. I said, that's fine, but what about from there back to the Garden of Eden? Well, I don't think they understood what I was talking about because they're still basically talking about restoring back to the faith of the fathers. But see, that just starts you when you're talking about restoration. That's just a start in the right direction to get you back to the faith of the fathers. Because the fathers didn't have the seals. The fathers didn't have what Adam had lost totally restored to them. Because Adam back there was ruler of the world and all the things under his domain. And he didn't have, see, the fathers didn't have all those things like that. But yet, we've got to be restored back. All right, we saw that Jesus, when he came, you know, when he came into to being there and lived a life, that he was the Word that Adam had lost. See, he was that Word that Adam had forfeited, standing there in human flesh. Then the church started off on the day of Pentecost with a great triumphant church. But first thing you know, it just started dwindling down away from that. Until it come down to the place that there was just barely a little flicker of light there. But now, we must be completely restored. That's what I want us to think about today, is that we've got to be completely restored back to the faith of the fathers. And when we see that, when we see restoration in its right form coming from the second seal, watch it tie right in then, the Lord willing tonight, right into the third seal. Going right in through into the third seal, watch that restoration come right in there and pick that up, and it'll carry right on, showing that the seals overlap each other. One just goes right into the other one, and one reveals something, the other will just pick it up and reveal a little more and a little more and a little more. Read your seal book. Go back and read your seal book and see if we ain't trying our best just to stay with the things the prophet has said on it. The last time we preached on it, we showed you how they connected the scriptures together. We take the blood and the doctrine, and we went back to Cain with it and come down through the Bible, riding along and seeing that every time you'd see them two persons there, one of them would be the Antichrist. But this time, we just kind of picked up in the church ages. We talk about a restoration maybe in the Old Testament or something, but pick up mainly in the church ages to see that then you can watch that. One of them just goes right into the other one. Right on into the other one, right on into the other. First one showed the Antichrist. Then when the prophet picked up the second seal, he talked about the Antichrist and the Spirit. Then he showed how it become incarnate in its second work. And he had a sword that he killed with. Then the third seal goes right on, just picks that thing up just a little higher, and shows that it was a dark ages. You think about that until tonight. This is the dark age. Right now. If you can't bring them seals down to us individually, then, you know, and to this hour, then where would it be? You show me the drawing in the church age book where the dark age was at. There was light in every church age when the prophet drawed it across, when the moon went through those stages. But this age goes into total darkness. The prophet, when he drawed it, he said, I left a little light in the seventh age, but he said it goes into total darkness. Well, then this is the dark age that we better be considered. That's what I say. Bring those seals down to us. Don't just talk about some kind of historical thing or look at something. Yeah, we know what the second seal is. That reveals that there was a pope back there. Well, what about the popes down here? What about the popes that's living down here that are trying to control it? We covered there on the seal of trying to get a foundation from it. But now, what we want to see is, in this restoration of the Word, now watch, in the restoration of the Word, here's something that I want you to think on. This is the main point of the sermon today, if you want to put any main emphasis on anything. We found that the Word must be restored to the church. Now we found that from the second seal, see that that seal revealed that the Word would be restored to the church. Now here's what I want you to see out of it. The church must be tried. Now here's what I said. Here's the time that we're living in that you can see something. Because now watch. What did we find from 2 Thessalonians, and Brother Brown uses 2 Thessalonians for the first seal and carries it over into the second seal, still using it? And it goes all the way through because it shows a man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God that happens over in the tribulation period under the sixth seal. Alright, now, in that 2 Thessalonians we found there must be a falling away first. Now, you would have to have the Word before you could fall from it. So the main point of the Scriptures driving at the end time down here. Sure, the ages would fall away. Sure, Adam and them fell away and there had to be a restoration. But the main thing is when the restoration of the Word comes. Then and then only is it, I mean, that's the main point of what you're talking about. Then there would be a falling away. And you know where that falling away comes in at? It's when that you've got to be tried by the Word. See, you'd have to have the Word before you could fall from it. So you could say, well, there come a falling away, you know, down there because they fell away from what they had at Pentecost. Well, now, what about what we're trying to cover in restoration? That back to the Garden of Eden. Then they'd have to be the pure, unadulterated Word standing there being preached to you before you could fall away from it. That's common sense, ain't it? Like we was talking about revival the other night. You don't revive a sinner. You revive a Christian. Sinners get saved. A Christian gets a revival. All right, then, in that, this is the time. See, the prophet would have brought the message. Now watch what I'm talking about. See, the prophet standing there preached the pure, unadulterated Word. Now, I'm talking about the whole message now the prophet preached. I ain't talking about just say this much and that much or whatever. I'm talking about in 1965, he had brought the Word pure, unadulterated from all creed. And all things, and was standing there, not only with the faith of the fathers, but he is also standing there proving by his life and the things that was happening that he had the Word just exactly like Adam had it in Genesis. Because Adam could say to a tree, move, and the tree would just move out of his way. He could say to the wind, it's too strong, he'd say, peace be still. The Lord Jesus came proving he was that Word in its fullness standing upon the earth. And he just calmed the waves. He could walk on the water. He had control over those things. Then you see a prophet standing in the end time. Now watch, the Word is what's the fullness, not the prophet. We don't believe in deity. We're not talking about something like that. But here stands a prophet in the end time, proving that he in his own life and revelation is standing back there where the disciples were. Because he had the ministry just like that. And he said, there when he went beyond the curtain of time, and they said to him, you know, that we're resting on that. He said, I've preached the word just exactly like Paul preached. Then watch it come on down through his ministry and just keeps on coming to the place that he would speak squirrels into existence. That a little dead fish would receive its life and be restored. That a woman's children would be saved just at the voice of a man. That a storm would be taken totally out of existence just at the words of a man. That a tumor, that big growth that would be on his wife's side, just at his words would be gone. That wasn't the man. He said that was sovereignly given. I was looking at this week in the questions and answers that I was reading through them. He said that was sovereignly given. In other words, God working it. Who was it when Moses spoke flies into existence? Was it Moses? Can any man create? No, it was Moses' words, but God gave the thought. Well, see, then you would have to have that restored here in the last days before your main point would come of the falling away. See, the restoration of the word would be there. Then you'd see the people fall away, and the man of sin would sit in the temple of God then. See, he's showing himself to be as God. Alright, then in that, there's the time that's the most treacherous of all time. You think it was a bad time back there when they were being killed by the millions back in the times of the persecution. But what about a time when the God of this evil age has blinded the eyes of the people? Read the message, God of this evil age, when you get a chance. And just think about what that prophet's talking about. The God of this evil age has blinded the eyes of the people that they can't see what's going on. Alright, then the word, we have the word in our possession. The prophet brought it. It's some books and tapes and things. Then now watch. What do you see? A falling away. You see the people as they gradually just start falling back away from the message. I don't mean just because it's happening here in 1982. I'm talking about all the way from the time the prophet finished his message. And it was there preached in its pure form. Then what started happening? Oh, people was doing good back in there in the late 60s. Boy, they was on fire and just going. All at once it just started this. Going like that, didn't it? People that were once on fire, just having a great time in the Lord, no. It started slowly falling away. Until you know people personally that they don't even go to church no more. You see them, they've gone back into the world. And I ain't talking about even people that come along when we come along. I'm talking about people that was in the message way before I even heard of it. They just started falling away. What is it? It's the trial that we fail in. Now on page 9 of God of This Evil Age, Brother Branham said, this church... Watch what he says about this church must be tried by the word. Now you'd have to have it. You can't be tried by something that you ain't got. So you'd have to have it. Now watch the falling away. All the way down through there, and you know that most of us were along in at least some of that. How did it come along in there in 73? Boy, they was on fire. The rapture was coming and everybody was just so built up and just... And all at once, it just right on through. 74, oh, and then 77. Boy, just everybody was saying the Lord was coming that year. That was the year, boy. They were just all built up. It went right on through 77, 78, And then you started seeing what? People started just dropping back. Dropping away. Doing things now that they wouldn't have done when they was in the Pentecostal ranks. Doing things they wouldn't have done as sinners. Where are they at now? See, there must be a falling away. But you got to have the word before you can fall away from it. Now watch, here's where we're at. If you can catch this is what we're trying to get to you this morning. Page 9, God of this evil age. We find now this evil age is to prove to Satan she is not like Eve. Now who's he talking about? Talking about the bride. The bride's got to prove to Satan that she's not like Eve. That she is not that type of a woman. And she will be tried by his word, the bride, as Adam's bride was tried by the word. And Adam's bride believed every bit of the word, all but confused on one promise, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Eve wasn't a real bad woman. She was just deceived. Eve wasn't a prostitute of 40 years. Just saying it like that. She just done one thing wrong. Throwed the whole human race into this chaos. Now what are we going to be? If there's a restoration of the word, then also you will be tried by the word that's restored to you. Alright, that's why all of these years I've preached the way I have to try to get you to see. I remember years ago I preached on persecution, why we must have it. And, you know, asking a question like that, it sounds funny, why we must have it. I said, then it's because we won't believe the word. If we'd believe the word, we could bypass the persecution. I told my wife something this week talking with her, something personal in my own life. And I said, maybe if some way I can get y'all to see and to catch it, you won't have to go through what I've had to go through. I said, maybe I can preach it so y'all can catch it. Everybody has to have their own troubles and heartaches. But some have to go through certain places so they can find themselves. And then when they do, they can help the others that they don't have to go that way. I remember back there, the tapes are there if you want to listen to them. People was looking like talking about for the rapture in 73 and a half and 74 and a half, 77. All of that time I was trying my best, and you know it that's been here with me, trying to get you to see it wasn't a year, but it was Jesus Christ. The Word was the rapture. I've never had to change my thoughts on that. I'm like everybody else. I was looking for it in 77, but I never preached that 77 would be the rapture. I preached it'd be exactly what the prophet said it was, the 70th Jubilee since the beginning of Jubilees, and I still haven't had to change that point. Because I know then we'd be tried by the word. I've read this to you and preached on that years ago, how we'd be tried by the word. Well, see, then you'd have to have the word before you could be tried by it. So we see the prophet there in 65 bringing the message and then going off the scene that the message might live in the people, because if it didn't, everybody had their eyes on the prophet and kept their eyes on him, just like all of them had their eyes on the Lord Jesus. But we've got to be tried by the word. See, in the trial, that's where we fail at. If we just see that the heartaches and troubles comes to try us. We've been given the word. Like Abraham, for instance. Abraham was given the promise, said, you'll have a son by Sarah. 25 years he waited. You think he wasn't tried by the word? God tried him to see if he'd stay with the word, irregardless of what everybody else done. Everybody laughed and made fun of him, you know. Brother Branham standing there one time told, said the Lord said that I'd have a son and his name would be Joseph. You think he wasn't tried by that promise that was given? Here come along a baby, happened to be a little girl. Man made fun of him and said, well, I guess that's Josephine you meant instead of Joseph. That man was in bad shape right there. You just think of all them people that life made fun of Abraham when he walked down through there for 25 years. Even got his name changed. Abraham, what does it mean? Abram means, I believe it's high father. And then Abraham means father of nations. I believe that's the way it is. But anyhow, a man going along and say, what's your name? Well, it's been changed to Abraham. Well, where's your children? I ain't got none. See, that looks terrible, don't it? Look back in the Bible and see what they went through, and you'll see it revealed under these seals of what the prophet was trying to get us to see. He didn't go into all of that teaching like that. He didn't have time. But he showed from the second seal that there would be a restoration of the Word, and he said, now I want to give you a type so that you'll get it. Not just preaching on the Antichrist side of it, but showing what God would do. There'd be a restoration of the Word. Well, then we see if the Word's restored, you're going to be tried by the Word. You'll be tried by the Word to see whether you believe it or not. Then you've got to stand on that Word irregardless of all circumstances, it says. Well, what would it be if I preached my own personal convictions and showed you that I believe that I'm standing in exactly the same place Moses was standing when God said to him, why cry speak? One of these days I'll preach a little bit about that. What was wrong with Moses? You show me in the Bible where that he ever cried one word. You show me in the Bible, read it for yourself and show me where he ever cried one time. He stood there and prophesied. He said, the Egyptians you see today, you'll see them no more forever. And God said, why are you crying to me? Was that crying? Then go read Why Cry Speak. Maybe you'll see where that we're all at in a place. Not just me, but all of us is there to the place that God's wanting to see if we'll take the Word and just stand on it, irregardless of what anybody else says. And just stand right there on that Word and call for it and just wait then. You see Moses in just a minute after doing that, you see him turn around with that rod, go over and smite that water, and never another time is it ever recorded that he ever cried. Not another man in the Bible ever cried like that. How come Joshua could come over there later and stand there and say, son, stand still? Something was caught right there that you and I have got to catch. You better read Why Christ Speak over and over and over and over and over until you get it for your own self. Not for me, for your own self. I've tried my best for now for almost a year to get you to see one little point. And now knowing it fits under this seal, look where it puts me, knowing for over a year of trying to preach it. How many remembers me trying to tell you that you'd come to a place in your own Christian experience that you'd feel no more of the Holy Spirit no more than you would if you was going to a ball game? How many remembers that? You ought to. I've said it enough. I said, I've come to this pulpit many a time to preach when I was no more anointed to preach than I would if I was going out to a ball game or something. Because there's a place in everybody's Christian experience. You've got to be tried by the Word to see whether you'll stand on it or not. And then God just withdraws His presence. If you ain't come to that place, I'm trying to warn you ahead of time. If you haven't come to the place, all these people talking about these great anointings, boy, I feel so much, I'm so much better satisfied in the Lord now, you know, and because of all the experiences I'm having. Well, I'm having to say right to reverse, but I'm satisfied in the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. But I've come to a place that I've walked for months and never feel the presence of the Lord. Pray and cry for you and see the Lord heal you. walked up to Terrence the other night and laid hands on him and prayed, and he never got sick no more. Seeing God do that, but yet not being able to get anything for myself, then if nothing else, let it be to you, then don't go that way. Put your nose to the grinding stone and let God lead you. Because if you don't, you'll come right down the same place I come to. That I can go to the woods and pray and cry and see God heal you and answer your needs and things like that and never get a word from Him. When I used to go to the woods, these boys, my boys know they could walk up on me, and you can't do that in the woods. But they walked up on me a many times, me sitting there reading my Bible and writing notes and things. You want to try to sneak up on me in the woods, you can't do it. My ears is real sharp and sensitive to ever crack. But yet I could sit down and write notes that I showed my wife the other day. I'm still preaching things. I wrote notes 2 years ago at General Motors. And preaching on them today. But yet for the past 3 or 4 months I can go to the woods or anywhere I want to and sit down and pray and seek God for something. And never find one word. Come back home, sit down to study. Get quiet and get to myself and just start writing notes and then just start preaching from it. God is the one that's in control, not me and you. And when we learn that, we'll be better off. When we learn that we ain't got nothing to do with it but a vessel that He uses, then we'll learn a lesson. I try to save you the heartaches of coming there because I've went that away. My wife knows I can't study like I used to be able to. It's not age. It's something on me that I know I'm driving, but yet I know that it's Him that's doing it. It has to be. But then as quick as I get off and get quiet to myself sometimes in the study at the house, He's never failed to give me a sermon to preach. But I went to the woods and stayed 3 days at a time praying, trying to seek the Lord for a message and couldn't get a message for you for one thing. When I used to be able to write enough within 3 days like that to preach for 5 years off of. You've got to be tried by the Word to see if you'll stay with it. Every one of us has to. We've got to come that way. But maybe I can warn you ahead of time, if you're starting into that, then have hopes, because there's always a shinier corner, just right on outside the tunnel. Don't worry about it. He's in control. Amen. See, if you're in that trouble, then just keep right on going. It don't matter what you do. I go down through the woods and pray and cry and seek the Lord and try to get the presence of the Lord around. Wouldn't have more nothing. One day I was hunting there. I said, Lord, if you never speak to me again, I still know you're God. If you never love me, never heal me, never do nothing for me, I'll know you're God. And I'll walk with you, irregardless of what life consists of. And you make that dedication to God, and then you'll find Him. You've got to be tried by the Word. You claim to believe it. You're going to find out whether you believe it or not shortly. You claim to believe this prophet's message. You're going to find out shortly whether you believe it or not. You just wait a few more turns of the clock. You don't know what they're going to consist of. Who's going to take over and what's going to be in control of this government and all of these other things. And you're going to find it out. We stood years ago and told you it would happen. And now here it is. But that seal reveals a restoration of the Word. And then that you've got to be tried by that Word. It'll have to be. Watch it. That'll come right into the third seal when we hit to that part of it of the church. You'll see it come right into the seal and go right on then. That God will come on the scene. But you got to be tried first. It's in the trial when we fail. It's always that point when we come to it. But now listen. We've got to come to something else now. You've got to be tried by the Word, but you've got to be washed by the Word. That's what the Scripture teaches, washed by the water of the Word. So we've got to be washed by the Word. Now watch the seal part now. We saw the seal shows, the natural sight, how the second stage of the devil comes to an end when he's cast into the lake of fire. Now that's the natural side of it. Now we see that when, on our life's message, we saw Satan must be cast out of the bride. And that's done by the revelation of the Word as God reveals it unto us. So the casting out is the revealing of the Word, is when the Word is revealed to you. Every time the Word's revealed to you, Satan loses hold. I don't care what the revelation's about, you know, or what subject you're on or whatever, as that Word is revealed to you, now what if you won't read it and study it? Are you satisfied with the devil? You know, there's people, I believe, that are satisfied with the devil. You remember Brother Hantus preached a message years ago, long about the first one I ever heard him preach, I guess, somewhere in there, about One More Night with the Frogs. You remember that? He preached a message. If you go back there and read, Pharaoh, they'd say, Moses would say, you want us to take these things away, you know, and Aaron him. He'd say, yeah, take them away. And it comes to the frogs. He said, I'll just let them stay till in the morning. In other words, he'd got content with the frogs. There's frogs under his bed, in his bed, all over his bed, all over his food, and everywhere. He said, I'll just let them stay till in the morning. There's people that are content with just barely serving Jesus Christ. They want to be called a Christian. They want to go to heaven. But they don't want to be tried by the Word. They'd rather just stay where they're at. The children of Israel, the natural type, said we'd rather go back down to Egypt. Now that was a natural type of it. So then it must be true of the rest of it. But now we've got to be washed by the Word. And that Word is a bleeding Word. It's a bleeding Word. The Word and the blood goes together. Now think on this thought for a minute. Brother Branham said, one of these days, them denominations will find out they're not under the blood. Now they believe in the blood. They confess the blood. And there's no different in denominations out there and denominations in here, so we're not talking about anybody. We're just talking about the truth. He said they'll find out they're not under the blood. Now, how would they find out they wasn't under the blood? Now, you think about it. How would a man find out he wasn't under the blood? It's sure not the Lord that's going to reveal to them they're not under the blood and they believe it, is it? How is it then that they'll know they're not under the blood? The blood and the Word is always together because it's a bleeding Word that we're cleansed by. That's on page 39 of Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ, if you want to read it. That we're cleansed by a bleeding Word, a Word that was made flesh and blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, He was the Word in its fullness. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It was a bleeding Word. A bleeding Word, that's what cleanses us. Now, how would they know that they're not under the blood? See, the second seal shows the blood on one side that they're killing 68 million. It's a red horse. Now we saw the restoration of the Word. And the Word is a bleeding Word. Then how would they know that they're not under the blood? when they see the Word truly being made manifest, they ought to know they're not under the blood. They ought to realize they're not under that blood then. If the Word, in other words, if you see somebody preaching the Word and living the Word that you can't, now you better be careful then. You better be careful, because that's a dangerous spot. Because you could be one of the two. You could be one if the Lord hasn't revealed that Word to you, or you could be one that's not under the blood. There's people that I've talked to and talked to and talked to until I was blue in the face trying to get them to see one little point from Brother Ram's message. And you know, they just couldn't see it. Well, now let's don't de-Christianize nobody, because it's left up to the Holy Spirit to reveal it. But let's just talk honest and true, though. Could it be they wasn't under the blood? Blood and the Word goes together. Then why is it that people has rejected the Word the prophet brought? See, we're still on the second seal because we're talking about the blood. I told you the other day, if I could get the right point of it, then we'd talk a little bit about the blood. What about the people of the message and the way they treat the message? But yet they want Jesus, don't they? How about places that you know of personally that sent the books back when 77 passed? And I know that happened. What about all that? But yet they still sang about Jesus. They didn't close their churches. See, it's just part of the falling away. Proving to you the restoration is here. What did they do? A lot of them didn't go back to their denominations, you know. They know better than that. But they just rejected the ministry that was preaching the message. Well, to reject one is to reject the other one. Where could they be under the blood? The blood and the Word goes together. Where does that leave the people then? They're not under the blood. Now you say, well now, Brother Dale, that's a strong statement. Well, is it true? I mean, let's get the monkey off of my back sometime. I ain't talking about no individuals. I'm talking about the people of the message. And then if it fits individuals, they have to be in the category. But where's the people of the message? Where's the people that used to claim this message? Where's the people that used to come to this church and said, I wouldn't go back to a certain church unless they get up and make a public apology of what they said about us? That's personal, ain't it? But is it true or not? But they've gone back. What about the people of this message that just turned in their books and things, see, and just done everything? But yet they still sang the songs out of the songbook about the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. The only way you can be under the blood is be under the Word. Now you separate them. Luther was under the blood because he's under the Word. It was just to just you live by faith, but he's under the Word. The only way you'll ever be covered is by the Word. Was Eve covered by the blood or by the Word? She was covered by the Word that was later made of blood, wouldn't she? It later became blood, but it wasn't blood then. Washed by the water of the Word. Brother Brown said, if I can just get her stand still long enough to get her washed and put on the garments, washed by the water of the Word. If there's a restoration of the Word, then you'll be tried by the Word. And you'll also be washed by it. You say, yeah, but looks like it would be. Looks like it'd be that people would just, you know, if y'all claim to be in the message and be the bride, looks like, oh, the Lord would just be backing up everything. That's part of the trial. If you caught what I was talking about a while ago, that's part of the trial. You've got to be able to stand even though the Lord won't be among you, seem like, sometime. And still stand on the Word. You think it wasn't pretty bad when John walked out there and faced a whole religious system of the world? And said, you vipers, you generation of snakes, you... How do you think he felt? You think he felt like shouting? When he was down in the prison, they come in there and said, your name John? He said, yeah, so I'm fixing to cut your head off. You think Paul was just shouting when he was going down to give his life? No, he simply had the Word on his mind, didn't he? What did he say? Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? We have all things through Jesus Christ. His mind was on the Word. The old black brother said, Brother Ryan referring to him, said, I'd rather be standing on the Word than standing in heaven. He said, why that? He said, because the Bible said heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word won't. So I'd rather be standing on the Word than hadn't you? He had a good point. I won't be standing on the Word when this thing goes wrong. What do you think about this message? I was talking to Brother Colin about it yesterday. You remember that message Brother Brown preached about the world falling apart? The Bible says the world is framed by the Word of God. In other words, the Word is what holds the world together. You take the Word away from it. No wonder the world's falling apart. But you just think now. The Word and the blood goes together. And the way they'll know that they're not under the blood is when they see the Word has already left. They see a rapture's already come. They see a group of people that the Word is in. And they'll see that they've done missed it. And they'll know they wasn't under the blood or they'd went with it. But now here's something I want us to get. A lot of people don't believe the blood is sufficient. Oh, it's sufficient to save me, but then I got to live the life. No, it's not that. It's either the blood or we're lost. It's not the blood in my good life. My good life comes because the blood's there, only because of that. But listen, before you can speak the Word, now, this will come under another seal, but it's headed that way if you know what I'm talking about and if you can watch what I'm doing. Before you can speak the Word, you must have the Word. Watch it pick up under the next seal now. Before you can speak it, you must have it restored. All right? Just watch it now when we come to the third seal. Because Satan, we saw, took the Word, perverted it, and will be destroyed by it. So that's why I base it on there that the Word is the only thing that can cast Satan out of us. Because Satan took the Word and destroyed with it and will be destroyed by the same Word. So the only way you and I are going to get him out of us is take the Word. Just eat it and become it. Because the restoration of the Word destroys Satan. With the restoration of the Word comes the restoration of power. That's a favorite statement of everybody, isn't it? But what about this one? Power apart from character is satanic. Everybody wants the power. They want the restoration of the Word. See, that brings them the power. But what about the power apart from character? That's on 117, Church Age book. You just read it when you get home. Read all the way through about 118, 116 through 118 of the Church Age book. And watch. Read 351 where that Jesus was perfected. His character was molded by the things that he suffered. That's what Scripture says. Yet being a son, learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. That's in the book of Hebrews. Just think now, the very God of heaven, the Creator, and while he was here on earth in a human flesh, looks like he'd have been perfected by his own good deeds or something. Or how much money he could give away, or how many people he could feed. Or how much, say, we'll say this, how much word he could read. But the Bible says, yet being a son, learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Read all of that down through there, how that there is a suffering left for the church. And power, apart from character, is satanic. And how do you get character? By the things you suffer. Then what's happening to me? Is to build a character in me, or it will destroy me. You'll be tried by the word, then, won't you? What's happening to you will either build a character in you, or it will destroy you. Because power apart from character is satanic. Who wants power without character? How do you get the character? Now, look where the Catholic picked that up. Catholics say, well, we need more patience, so we'll just go down here and do penance. Now, that's not right. We need something to help us. So the Bible says that through suffering we shall come to that place. So we'll bow down on our knees here on a bunch of nails and put our elbows on glass and we'll suffer for the Lord. We'll crawl down these cobblestones, as Brother Brown said they'll do, and all to worship some woman that her lover killed her up there, that she just a prostitute. Doing some kind of a penance. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you're trying your best and doing the best you can do and living the godliest life that you can possibly live in yourself, and still persecution's coming on you. Still troubles are coming and heartaches and trials are coming. That's when character is being molded. Not when you said, well, boy, I must be getting a lot of character because I sure have been sick lately. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you read the Word and study the Word and are tried by the Word and stay with that Word. And then when all of that, if you've done everything you can do and you've done everything to serve God and know that there's nothing between you and the Lord, and still troubles and heartaches are coming. Still seemingly the Lord withdraws His presence from you to where that you seem to just walk alone. You say, Lord, what have I done? And He tells you, nothing you've done. You say, have I done something wrong? I'll straighten up what I've done. And He tells you, nothing you've done. But yet, seemingly, heartaches and troubles just keep piling up. You know what that's doing for you? That's building a character. But it'll either destroy you, all right, it'll take us out of here. We've got the choice. I'm just trying to warn you a little ahead of time. Because you'll have to come through that waters if you ain't already went through. Because that's how you get the character. That when everybody is against you, and you're still serving God. Brother Brown said it's not an overcomer, you know, that one that can just, God can put him in a tube and push him out the other side. That's not an overcomer. Overcoming is living daily. and knowing that it's getting worse and worse and worse. And anybody with common sense that's been around this message knows that what I'm telling is the truth. That the spirit of the age and the time and all is getting harder and harder and harder and harder and seemingly getting to the place that you can't even get brothers together to talk about the message, let alone anything else. Where it used to be that was all of our thoughts and talks and heart, you know, our life was built into it. Now I have to watch what I say. Because I've got certain brothers that's just ready now. Just when I say something, they go, and I can take the seal and prove to you something I said here at this church not too long ago and prove it to you under the first seal and read it to you in black and white. But yet I was called and condemned and said, you got to straighten that up with your church. How can I straighten up what God said? How can I straighten up what the prophet said? If you want me sometime to read it to you, I'll do it outside the pulpit because people seemingly, they're just waiting now for me to say something. They do like that. Man hadn't called me in a long time. When he called me, I knew what it was. I said, yeah. Wife's sitting there. She said, you going to take that? I said, I sat there on the telephone. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Never said a word back to him. Because don't revile back. You're in the same shape they're in. Boy, bless God, I just told that feller off. Well, now you show me that in the Word. Boy, I really got him told. Show it to him in the Bible. It's not there. It's not the feller you can tell off you find that the Bible speaks of in there. It's the feller that can take it and walk on with Christ. You've got to be tried by the Word. That's what that seal shows that, if you understand what I'm driving at. Because you'll see it on the third seal, how the church was tried by the Word. I'm just trying to keep from saying too much because it'll cover the second message. But what about that church during the Dark Ages that was left there with just, they were left to stand on the Word and dying like flies in every direction. A great man like Polycarp that loved everybody and prayed for him, and even his enemies, some of them was converted on the way to kill him and things like that, of the great lies those people lived, but yet they still was tried by the Word. Why do you think it was called a dark age? Because they were putting out just about all the light. What do you think it means when you get into the third seal? It said, hurt not the oil and the wine. You read that in Joel where it says it. The oil and the wine will flow down together. And then you see Luther standing out there and you see that church as it went across. Look in your church age book. If I can think of it tonight, I'll bring it where Brother Branham showed the first church age and a lot of light and the next one a smaller light and the next one smaller. It went nearly into total darkness. Then all at once you see the next church age is just almost white. Just a little flicker of light called Just Shall Live by Faith. They were tried by the Word. They were tried by it. We'll show it tonight. Let's just stand together. But you just think about it. Joyce, would you come? We've got to be tried by it. The Word has to be restored to the church. Then the church has to be tried by the Word. And then when she's tried by it, she'll be washed by it. And standing with our garments pure and spotless white to be married to a virtuous, sinless Son of the living God. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be, ain't you? After all the heartaches and trials and troubles, Brother Branham and I are talking about those soldiers that he stood out there on that sidewalk and watched them with his little boy that day. Battle-scarred veterans. But he said, one of these days, there'll be a procession down through heaven. And it won't be battle-scarred veterans. There won't be no scars there. The only scars will be in heaven will be the scars in Jesus' hands. Because all the rest of them be gone. all the rest will be gone. Father, we ask you that you would just quicken what's been said. Let the people see that your word, Lord, is now in our possession. We can read it and study it. It's been restored to the church. We see a falling away out there of the people away from the word. And we see a church tried by the word to see whether she'll stand on it or not. And we see, Lord, that the word will wash us from our filthiness and do away with what we saw we had of the iniquity that you revealed from the first seal. Now knowing that, Lord, your word is what's true. Let your word come now. Save the lost. You said there one time in the word that your word was present to heal. Then let the people that need healing for their bodies, may they reach out just now and catch a hold of that manna. As they're behind that closed door, just eat of a portion of that manna that says, by his stripes we were healed. Thank you for your word and your understanding. Guide us, forgive us, in Jesus' name. Let's just sing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Two 13. Anyone has a need now, the altar's open. Nothing but the blood. It's page 213 of this red book. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus for my pardon. Just think of it, church. A promise that the word would be restored to us. The Lord Jesus Christ would be made manifest here among us. The word of the living God. The word and the blood goes together because it's a bleeding word. Tried by it, but cleansed by it. That we can be married to him. Read that invisible union of the bride of Christ. Look how pure the church is. Not one mark against us. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord imputeth not sin. What is it? You're not saved by the blood of a man. You're saved by the blood of God. That's the way the prophet taught it to us. It's the blood of God that saves us. And then if that blood is there, wasn't it something in that Old Testament when they'd come and stand under that blood and offer that sacrifice? God would say, your sins are covered. What about a church that stands under the blood that God can't see us? He sees the blood. Then it's the blood of Jesus, isn't it? This is all my... Anyone have a need now? Last verse. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. As we dismiss this morning, anyone have anything you'd like to say? before we dismiss. Remember to pray one for another. We had prayer, I noticed, this morning for Dean Gibby. He's always on our list to pray, but he's got to go this week, I believe tomorrow, for some tests to be made on his arm and things. It's still giving him a lot of trouble. He don't have the strength and all back in his arm that he used to have. And he asked us to pray for him, so I know he's going for a test this Monday. There somewhere in Atlanta to have some tests run. Let's all just pray as we dismiss that the Lord would take care of him and remember each one, remember all the needs, the personal requests that people's made, and all the desires of our heart. Because we all have that, don't we? Let's just all pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you would just let that word dwell in each one of our hearts, because in it, Lord, is what we have need of. Father, we pray for Brother Gibby as he's going to have the test made, that, Lord, there'll be nothing wrong, because by your stripes he's healed. Lord, for all of the people here, there's sicknesses among us, different things of physical need and spiritual needs also. Lord, just bless each one. Bless those that are not with us. They're hindering reasons, we know. And we pray that you would remove the reason, that we may all, Lord, fellowship around thy throne. Guide us now by thy grace. We know it's sufficient. We know your blood is sufficient for every need we have. Let it be you, Lord, now that would guide each heart and life and dismiss us from one another with love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. I know it was the blood, I know it was the blood, I know it was the blood for me.